Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary. Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Champions, my friends, we'll keep on scamming to the end. Bah, bah, bah. We are the scammers. We are the robbers. No time for police.
Nope,
'cause we are the scam. Yeah, you get where we're going with this. Hey, y'all, what's up? What's poppin', congregation? If you know, you know, we won the iHeartRadio Award for Best Crime, which is absolutely crazy. Thank you guys so much for listening and telling your friends about robbery and also letting your kids stream it after Paw Patrol in the other room. We all did our part. Absolutely should not be in this category. Y'all know we are a comedy podcast that is also doing true crime. But, you know, we legit, like, hey, let me research. And we haven't, you know, articles, we be having, you know, footnotes, okay? We be annotating, we be having a bibliography, so maybe we have become legitimate, and I'm so sorry for that. But I just want to say thank you guys, thank you all for listening and for coming back. You know, obviously we recorded a lot during the pandemic, and still the pandaroni, that's not even a word anymore, I can't even come up with fake words for the pandemic anymore, I was tired. Anyway, guys, that was a long intro. This is Scam Goddess Podcast. If you don't know, if you're new to the show, my name is Lacey Mosley, aka Scam Goddess. And this is a show all about true crime, robbery, fraud, and those who commit it and practice it. We love them. We stan most of the time. Guys, I'm very, yes, you know, I'm just going to keep it to what we always do. I'm very excited. I am, truly. This is a repeat guest. We don't know if it's the third time or the second time. I think second. He thinks
it's the third. It's the third, Lacey.
He's trying. Ain't nobody finished introducing you. Hello.
I'm sorry. It's all right. Mute me. I'm sorry.
Cancel. This is just absolutely ridiculous, guys. You see what I have to deal with?
Jeez. But I'm sorry, y'all.
See, he's still talking. he's still talking. Wow. No respect. You know what I mean? But guys, this is a good friend of mine. I've known him for many years. He's super talented. He's an actor, a comedian. He's a podcaster himself. He is a voice actor, which I told you have to be in the Illuminati to do. So, oh, I shouldn't say. Oh, no, the people. Okay, I take it back. He's not in the Illuminati. And he's a friend of the show. Guys, please. Oh, and you know what? Let me just drop some credits on y'all. I don't know. Let's just do that, too. You've seen him on shows like Liza on Demand and ABC's Bless This Mess. He hosts, produced his own podcast with iHeartRadio, Headgum, Earwolf, and some of those podcasts include Culture Kings, which was nominated for the 2021 Ambie Award for Best Comedy. Okay. You can check him out on the upcoming season of Physical on Apple TV. Okay. Okay, Physical on Apple TV, getting an Apple coin. Congregation, please welcome Jaquise Neal to the show.
Oh, I can talk now, y'all. I can talk now. Oh, the congregation, the deacon is back. I'm calling myself a deacon. I don't know if anybody else calling me that, but yes. I've been wanting to be a deacon since I saw my granddaddy doing it. So this is my chance, since I don't go to church. So
I mean, get your white gloves out.
Ooh, get my white gloves. Pass out the tithe and offerings.
Will not let you count the money. No, you can wear the gloves though, and you can pass the basket. You cannot pick the basket up.
I can pass it to the first person.
Yes, down the pew, and then okay. I'll be at the end of the pew. I do all of the receiving of baskets.
Okay. I mean, but both of us gonna steal the money though. So like, can you at least?
Not still. The money is for you. That's right. The money is yours. It's your church.
It's not for me. It's for the community. Like, we got a building fund. Things got to get built.
Lacey.
Okay? We got heating and cooling.
You know damn well that tithing offering money is going to the pastor.
No, not in my church, okay?
In your church scamming you then.
Who's gonna buy these little baskets to put the money in?
Get the motherfuckers on Amazon.
Square charges a percentage because we do take cards. You know, there's places this money is going. It's all accounted
you're right.
for.
You're right. The tithes go to the church and the offerings go to the pastor.
Now, don't act like there wasn't a love offering. The love offering was going to the pastor, and that one didn't lie about. They would be like, and now it's we have a love offering for pastor's anniversary. I never understood why we had to celebrate pastor's relationship anniversary.
We did. And let me tell you something, man. Pastors be cheating, too. It wasn't our business.
I feel like that's very almost like, what's the word? It feels like a little cheap of the men pastors to be like, okay, baby, you know what time it is. It's time for our anniversary. Like, take me to Cancun. Let me, you know, get a baptismal in the freaking Pacific or in the Atlantic. Like, don't, why is the church doing our anniversary?
Because the pastors ain't got no money, you know, although they flying the jets and driving the Benzes and they doing the service. I know that. But, you know, they need the congregation to pay for them. I mean, listen. Where you trying to go, Lacey? Where you trying to go?
I want to go to Turks and Caicos. I want to go to a lot of places. But here's my thing. If it is an anniversary, if that's what we're celebrating, then why does it have to be a cash gift? Can I bring some chocolate-covered strawberries?
I can't spend chocolate-covered strawberries, though. They melt. One person can give some chocolate strawberries. But, you know how you go down a gift list and it says, like, only one can give this, but then there's cash
now
and
I
everybody
got a registry.
Can give that? It's a registry.
No.
And my church is a registry because we modern. You know, we millennials and we got Gen Zers up in here. We ain't just paying with cash. We got Cash App.
See, I'm talking about things that actually happen in church, Jaquise. So you're talking about the church that you're actually trying to make up.
I'm trying to make a church.
A registry on a pastor's anniversary. I just want to know if I can give a gift instead of cash. You know what I mean? Can I give them Cardi B's whipped shots?
I don't think you can do that. I think it's all cash. Like I said, I haven't been to church in a minute, but there's a lot of new age churches now. I'm pretty sure there's some churches that's taking crypto and shit.
Oh my gosh. If a church ever told me I could tithe in Ethereum, like, we gotta fight. Like, get up, get out the pulpit right now because it's time to toss these holy hands. Mm-hmm, like, are you kidding me? But, Jaquise, we always ask, what is your relationship with scams? Have you ever been scammed? Do you love them? Do you hate them? You've been on the show before, but has anything new happened? Or
you know what?
It could be anything.
Here's the thing. Can I tell you what I think is a scam?
Yes.
I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I think liberalism and progressiveness is a damn scam. It's a scam. Let me tell you why it's a scam. Because we be fighting for shit. And like, listen, I be agreeing with the stuff, too. But what people don't be realizing is when you talk about, man, we want more people to pay their fair share of taxes and all that shit. Mm. That's cool for the billionaires and the millionaires. Leave us thousandaires alone. You know what I'm saying? shit. Because what the motherfuckers don't tell you is once you get out of the 5-digit bracket and you get into that 6-digit bracket, the taxes, I'm about to have my feelings hurt this tax season. I'm a Republican during the motherfucking tax season. It's a scam. I get it. It's so many rules, man. We got so many rules, and it's all a scam. It's a fucking scam.
I will say I do agree with you on the liberalism thing because it just feels like, and that's why, you know, we did Leg 2020 on this show because it was a shot in the heart with Donald Trump and it was a shot in the leg with Joe Biden. There wasn't really a win for us like people think there is. Like, when I look at, you know, liberal politicians and leftists and, you know, even the politicians who represent us right now in the House and in the Senate. It just feels like we're not going to kill you guys. We will put on some kente, but also we are going to kill you guys. Just like really slowly. We're going to make sure you don't have health care. We're going to tax you to death boots, honey. We're going to tell you all these things that we're going to do. Miss, bitch, don't worry. Those billionaires will pay. you know? And then
it's all about
Republicans are just
shit.
Like, look, we gonna kill you, but like today. And so it's like, which are, is either better?
Neither is better. And this, like, this
now
great
I'm gonna
lie.
Say one is better.
I mean, yeah, one is a little bit better. What,
I guess
one
I'd rather die a slow, painful death.
Right. One isn't actively trying to kill us, you know what I'm saying? One
they're
isn't racist towards us. They're not looking for us out in these streets. And, like, this is just it's a crazy thing that we have. And the reason I say it's a scam is because, to a degree, I do believe, I mean, personal responsibility is a thing. But, like, we have turned personal responsibility into, like, a weapon against each other.
Yeah.
In a way that is very fucking weird. It's very weird when, like, this shit ain't my fault. Nothing is my fault. Like, you know what I'm saying? Nothing is our like, we elected people to be put in place to do the jobs for us. And, yes, we have to do things for our fellow man. But the way we weaponize, like, all types of shit on both sides is so goddamn annoying. It's a scam because at the end of the day, it really, truly feels like don't shit change. So I don't know.
I don't know. I'm starting to, like, really understand my parents who, like, I'd be all fired up about these elections. They'd be like, baby.
I know. It's crazy.
It's all going to be the same. I'm like, but we are making progress very, you know, and much faster than they used to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Black Lives Matter, you know, we was in the streets, we didn't have to get hosed or sicked by dogs, so that's a step up. We're still marching, but now we're marching in athletic shoes that get us further for the long miles.
We're not marching in church shoes no more, you know what I'm saying?
Those are, they don't got no grip.
That's why our parents so damn tired, they feet hurt. Motherfucker, they ain't had no damn Yeezys or some Air Maxes with the cloud foam on their feet.
Right.
They had wood on the bottom of their shoes.
They marching
on wood.
I'm going to hell for laughing at that, but they really were. It was probably like all types of splinters in them joints when they got home, bro.
Them ankles,
shout out
them
to
dogs
y'all.
Was on fire, man. Go look, yo,
the
everybody,
knees?
All the black people that listen to this show. Next time you with your grandparents, go look at their feet. I bet you them motherfuckers
tired. Right. If you're lucky enough to have them.
If you're lucky enough to
mind.
Have your grandparents but or your parents, go look at them feet because they tired.
True. Exhausted. Clocked out. The last thing I want to say about that was, like, you made a good point, Jaquise, about, like, I feel like America has pitted ourselves. Like, you know, our government, so many people are pitting everyone who should be fighting together against one another. And, like, this is no new information. But it always makes me think, like, you know, when people get upset about redistribution of wealth or welfare or any social programs that help level the playing field for people who were born with less fortunate situations than others. You know, people want to get mad about that and be like, you just need to work harder and all this BS and Elon earned his money and all this other crap. But, like, nobody gets that mad about infrastructure. Like, our tax dollars go to building roads and stuff. And I never see people like, well, I pay more taxes than you, so you shouldn't even be out here on Mail Rose.
It's fucking crazy.
You don't pay. You are paying for the roads too, and the traffic lights. Do you want people who don't make as much money as you not to use traffic lights?
Like, yeah.
You don't stop looking up there.
And the way the system is set up,
I paid for that.
And the way the system is set up, everybody in the middle fucking pays way more than people at the top.
Oh,
you know?
Bruh. Every time I drive over a pothole, I just be, like, screaming at Jeff Bezos because it's truly not fair. Like, they coming for all my ends and more. And then Jeffrey up there just living good with his old cue ball
living
head
good.
Ass. But he don't even know what to do with the money. You see how you be dressing? Tacky as fuck.
Boy, you could have had hair by now.
He dresses.
Get some hair.
He dresses like a mannequin on South Beach. Like, if he was just walking past random stores. Like, Jeff, what is going on?
And not even at the good stores, at the discount stores, too. At the discount stores on South Beach.
If you're going to be a billionaire just out here killing everybody and stealing all the resources, at least have some drip. Like, you at least got to be dripped down. Every time you walk into the room, I mean, I almost want you to carry a cane. Like, I need you to be, like, I need you to dress like a villain.
Yeah. I mean,
Wear a cape.
Let me get $1 billion. I'm having a different cane every day. Different alligator shoes. You want a monocle?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I want just ridiculous opulence. Like, and it needs to be diamond encrusted. Like, DJ Khaled showed off, like, a $3 million watch that was, like, all these emerald-shaped ugly-ass diamonds the other day on Twitter. And everyone was like, this shit is so ugly. This is what you're doing with your money. Like,
yeah, that's what you're doing with his money. That shit is dope, probably. I want a Ric Flair robe.
I want a motherfucking Ric Flair robe, and I want somebody following me with interest music as I'm walking down the street. It's my greatest
delight.
Okay,
stop giving Jaquise money for things. I don't want to see that version of you.
Lacey, I just bought myself a WWF championship belt. It is my great honor to want to be a wrestler.
Let's get into our first segment here. What's hot in fraud? We're going to just completely glaze over that. This is where we warn our listeners about fraud that's popping in the streets, and more often than not, we get a letter from you guys. As always, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure your scam is retired so we don't, what? Yes, fuck up your bag. Amen. Mm-hmm. I need a fake name for this person. Normally, I will just say any gender, any whatever, but the scam is like very, very old, and they have said that they're a cisgendered man. So, okay. Yeah, you can give them.
So, we need a name. We need a name. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go Victor.
Victor.
Do you need a last name or just first name?
Let's go Johnson. Victor.
Okay,
Johnson.
Victor Johnson. Victor Johnson.
So, Victor Johnson says, I was listening to the Movie Mom Scam of the Week. So this was last week with Blair Saki when we were talking about Mama Donna. If you haven't heard it, it's a pretty wild scam. And it reminded me of something that my mom used to do for us as kids that also saved money on movies. They messed up when they let everybody that could afford a laptop have the ability to burn DVDs. Like, what did they think was going to happen? My mom would rent the latest movies from Blockbuster on a one-day release and immediately burn them. Pretty simple, right? What put my mom over the top was this little scam. She also bought high gloss paper and labels in the shape of discs and blank DVD boxes all in bulk in parentheses. Then she would scan the DVD and the box jacket cover and print them out on the labels and paper respectively. Once applied to the disc and jacket cover, it was like we bought the movie straight from Best Buy and had shelves of the latest movies for fractions of the retail price. Nothing major, but she was skilled with it and we always had the newest movies to enjoy. Joy as a family. It says, P.S. as a cis straight black man from Texas. Shout out to H-Town. Okay, H-Town, I'm from Dallas. Shut it down.
You ain't got shit on that man. H-Town? What up, H-Town? I'm here with y'all, H-Town. I'm here with y'all. Even if Dallas ain't, I'm here with y'all.
Listen, I just want to let you know, and then this is in all caps, we do listen. That feels scary, Victor. That feels scary.
See, you up here shitting on this sound, and he ended that sentence with, we do listen.
Right, I'm afraid. I think that was meant as a compliment, but I'm now in fear, okay? I'm shaking.
Can I just say that this is, I mean, did he portray this as like a scam that was happening?
Yeah, so I guess what he's saying is that, here's what bumped me.
Brother, did you not grow up around other black niggas been doing this shit? I mean, look, kudos to your mama. I love that she was doing it, but homie's been doing this since the 60s.
I just feel like your mom could have taken it a step further. If she already has, like, the cases, the printing capability, she got that good gloss. Y'all got a good printer in the crib. That's also colored ink. Like, are y'all sure she made out on top? Did we crunch the numbers on this?
Because
it seems like she's got a lot of... I feel like we could have just got one of those... Remember those thick... It would be like a soft cover, and it was like almost like a little purse for the CDs.
Yep, you could just slide them in.
You could have put all them CDs in a CD purse.
Get you a Sharpie.
Right, but your mom was trying to... Who was your mom doing this for? Was she printing out the real DVD covers so that when her homegirls came over, she could be like, I'm rich in DVDs? It feels like your mom was trying to stunt on the community.
Yeah, yeah. And your mom was scamming. Scam. She was trying to stunt. She was faking it until she made it. That's what your mom was doing.
It feels like a flex. Yeah. I feel like... She had all of them out, you know, in a little shelf, and then people would come over, but she'd be like, what y'all want to watch? We got that new Saving Private Ryan. Y'all want y'all trying to watch that? Like, also, because she's putting the disc safe CD on the CD, and if you bootlegging, you can just write in Sharpie what movie it is on top.
Exactly.
She wanted people to think that it was from Best Buy.
I don't need Denzel's face on Remember the Titans. I can just re-Remember the Titans. I ain't got to see his face on the disc. I don't need that. I know who in it. I know Denzel in Remember the Titans. Also, I mean, listen, Your mama was doing all that work for her kids. Which, look, I'm glad your mama loved you. Mama love is great. Parents loving their kids is great. Your mama should have been selling them motherfuckers to people up and down the street, too. She should have been selling them.
Did your mom not own, like, a large coat that she could hang the CDs in, like, bruh man? And, you know, just appear at salons and barbershops and open the coat and, like, sell the DVDs?
Shit, she know. Listen, when Big Mama House 2 came out, she could have made bank. She could have made bank on that movie. Everybody loved Martin.
Right. Everybody loved it Martin. Big, just in case the cops show up, it's Big Mama House T-O-O. Big Mama House 2.
Right, right. Oh, no, I got Big Mama House 2. Not Big Mama House 2. No, I just got it also.
Yeah, I got Big Mama House also. I don't have Big Mama House number 2. Okay, that's illegal.
Yo, you know what? The man already said he be listening, so we done spent the last 5 minutes shitting on his whole letter. I'm not shitting on your letter, brother.
I'm not shitting on
it. We ain't shitting on your letter. I love that your mama did that for y'all. It was dope. Y'all, you had a little secret that y'all was keeping for yourself. We just Victor, saying your mama could have went further. That's all we
Victor,
saying.
I'm just trying to understand who your mama was doing this for, okay? Because, like, it's just, like, the professional quality. It's like she's returning the real DVD to Blockbuster.
Right.
So all this professional quality shit, like, who was that for?
Right. If it really wanted to be a scam, she should have did all that shit and then gave them the bootleg.
Right.
Because you know that DVD gonna run out after a while. So she got the real one. Out. You know after about 50 plays, that DVD gonna be scratching and skipping and shit.
Scratch her.
So she should have kept the real ones for her. So that would have been a scam.
Right. Like, that, we started at the FBI with Martin Lawrence. Now he in a dress and he got shot. What happened? Oh, it skipped. It skipped.
Ooh, Blockbuster quality done gone down, y'all.
Which would have been believable because they did go out of business.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. If you going to go ahead and do this, I mean, you can't really burn shit no more. Everything is streamable, but... if you don't have kids, when you get kids, my brother, or Victor, I should say, because, you know, however you identify, but Victor.
you don't identify as a brother.
You may not identify as a brother, you know what I'm saying? But whenever you get kids, or if you have kids, when you do some scammy shit, I just want you to think. You know, we got a thing in improv, Lacey, you know this, we call it going A to C, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your mama went A to B. I want you to take that extra step and go to C. You know, go to C.
I'm not talking about Victor's mama. You're going to get his cut. Need I remind you, the end of the email says, we do listen. So I don't want to upset him.
Shout out to your mama, Victor. She's dope.
Yeah.
My mama wasn't doing all that shit. So your mama loved you. And we can't deny that. She loved y'all.
Absolutely. She wanted to make sure y'all had all the latest. Blockbuster was at your crib. You know what I mean? Y'all was busting the blocks. Like, I'm just thinking, like, mama could have went out. But I guess, you know what? If mama was doing all this to make sure the DVDs were cute in her home, it's giving, you know, she's got a cabinet full of fine china and MLK commemorative plates. It's not giving, like, she would be out here debasing herself by selling merch on the corner. I feel like mama don't do that.
Mama don't do that. You right. Mama classy.
She
classy. Yes. Okay. She just need to save some money so she can have a little bit more extra to buy her china.
Listen, when they come out with the new commemorative plate, mama's got to get it.
Mama go get that plate.
You'll never eat off of it. You will never put a fork.
No. China's a scam. Have y'all had a China episode? Like, not the country, the dinnerware. China is a scam. It was just plates. It's plates and cups.
But it's fine. It's fine.
I know, but why? We can't eat off of it.
I know. I've never understood that. In, like, wedding plates, like, my parents, like, I feel like so many couples get, like, wedding dishes and stuff. And I'm like, are you eating off them bitches? Like, these gold trim plates that we got you, are you eating off of them every... Are you putting Stouffer's on them bitches?
Nah, they putting lasagna on them.
I think they just sit in a cabinet.
My grandma had that shit growing up, and, like, we couldn't touch them. Couldn't even open the cabinet. Forget, like, touch them. You couldn't even open the cabinet that they was in, or you get in trouble if she saw you doing that.
Right.
Like, you couldn't even get near
it. Who is this for?
Nobody.
Who is enjoying it?
Nobody. It's for nobody. It's to say you had it, which, listen, you did feel a little bougie, and I mean a good bougie. Like, you came over and, you know, you saw the little china, and people was like, oh, they got money. We didn't have money. We just had a couple pieces of china handed down that nobody could touch.
I think having money is like eating off that bitch. Like, I challenge anybody out there who has fine china to, like, put it out one time. Now, don't do it when you got your clumsy friends over or your friends who don't know how to act, or maybe even sometimes your parents, because, listen, every time my mama comes to my place, she breaks something. I don't know what it is. She don't break nothing at home. At her house, nothing's getting broken. Every time she comes to my house, she breaking something.
She getting you back. She getting you back for shit you broke when you was a kid. I love it. I love your mama. I love your mama for that.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. We'll be right back with my favorite part of the show, Historic Hoodwink. Scams!
I love fashion, okay? But we all know buying the latest and the greatest constantly is a little bit of a scam to the planet, which is why I love Nuuly. It's a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Sometimes you put something on the gram and you could be like, oh, well, it's dead now. Well, with Nuuly, you can keep having fresh fits. And you're helping the planet. Try out trending styles, colors, silhouettes, and then you can send it back for something new. Okay? Come on, Nuuly. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles for more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. I know that's right. It's fast, free shipping and returns with professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy whatever you love, which I love that because sometimes I put on a piece and I'm like, it's mine now. So you can buy it from Nuuly. I love using Nuuly because the free shipping, it's really quick, and the pieces are really nice quality. Also, I love that the orders, like when I got mine, it was shipped in a recyclable, reusable tote. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code GODDESS20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code GODDESS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code GODDESS20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Close your eyes. Open your mind. And imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials. Aren't you all of a sudden Diane Keaton walking on a sand beach thinking about your life? Yes, you can get this kind of luxury with unbeatable prices at Quince because they're here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within your grasp, honey. They have 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. Y'all know I have the silk tops. I actually just went back and got the washable silk slip dresses. I got one in red, I got one in cream, and I got one in black because I'm about to be out here stunting in my quiet luxury. Y'all know I love the sweatsuits. I actually went back and got the sweatsuit in blue and pink, and I got the shorts. They got shorts to match with the sweatsuit too, so when it's hot girl summer, I can have my thighs out, but my arms can be warm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Hoochies never get cold. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess.
Cut! And we are back. It's time for Historic Hoodwinks, my favorite part of the show. This is where we will regale Jaquise with the famous con caper group of criminal squad. Maybe we like them, maybe we hate them. We'll see. Today we're talking about a scam that started in the early 90s. A stowaway found frozen in the wheel well of a plane made international headlines. Well, that's a dark note to start on. Oh, no.
International headlines.
He was known as the kind of orphan teenager trying to escape to America for a better life. Little did anyone know, he would grow up to become one of the world's most talented criminals. Okay, so he was found frozen, but not to death, is what I'm guessing.
Right, yeah. So he was frozen.
Why do you write this like this?
Yeah.
So he was just really cold?
He was cold.
Because when I hear frozen, that means dead.
That means, yeah, or he got some missing parts. He got some fingers missing or something.
Yeah, it's. I just have never heard, like, we found her frozen, and the next sentence is, she was fine.
The next sentence is, she became a villain. Right. Yeah, she became a villain. Y'all motherfuckers froze her.
Yeah, y'all froze her.
Like. She was mad.
Yo, if I thaw out, maybe that would keep me alive. Just the anger, the sheer rage would keep me warm inside. Like, bitch, if I ever thaw out, it's over for you hoes.
You freeze me and I unthaw. I'm turning into the goddamn Joker.
Don't let me thaw out.
Okay? Don't let me thaw out. You better make sure I stay frozen.
Yeah, that was just such a weird way to write that, but also hilarious. But look, guys, it's already a positive upswing.
Already. And she became a criminal, a world-class. Of course, this person became a world-class criminal. They survived death.
Right. So, the stowaway. One summer night in 1993, a mechanic in Miami National Airport opened the wheel well of a DC-8 cargo jet as a part of a routine security check. I'm glad y'all be opening everything. I appreciate the security checks. Mm-hmm. Instead of finding it empty, the mechanic found a body wearing only a t-shirt and cutoffs curled in a ball, unconscious and frozen like an ice cube.
What? Mm. Okay.
I also feel like, I don't know. If I stowed away in a plane, I feel like I probably would have wore cutoffs too, thinking it was going to be hot in there. But no, in cold. Reality, you are 35,000 feet in the air and clouds and stuff. So it's probably chilly.
It's
you should wore a coat.
Yeah. And we be putting dogs and shit down there too. That shit is wild.
Don't bring that up.
I don't know what made me think of that right now.
Fido and how Fido down there freezing.
Fido cold, man. Fido, that's why Fido be acting different every time y'all bring him home from a trip.
Right. Only put your Iditarod dogs on the plane. Fluffy and them, they're not built for that life. They're not built for the plane stowaway. But yeah, it's chilly.
Frozen like an ice cube. Wow. One of two things. Either this person is, the person who wrote this has a beautiful imagination and is hyperbolic as hell, or this person is a superhero. How you frozen like an ice cube and you still alive? That don't compute in my brain either.
Yeah, because the ice cube is like solid.
Yeah.
And I feel like when humans, like when we get solid, like that's pretty much, it's over for us.
That's a new shirt. Humans, when we get solid,
like,
it's over.
We're not supposed to be completely solid.
We're not supposed to be solid. We're supposed to have some softness.
Maybe he was like an ice cube. You know when you're real desperate to have ice and you have the little ice tray? Like, I remember in college, like, we needed ice for drinks. And I was like, okay, I'm going to throw some water in this ice tray and put it in the freezer. So then you're checking it every, like, 5 minutes. Like, is it frozen?
Right. And it got that little layer. Get that little top layer.
Yeah, it had a little skinny little top. And then in the middle, it's still a little water. So maybe that's what kind of cube he was. Like,
Maybe he was just a top layer of ice. Just a top layer of ice. He wasn't frozen all the way through.
And sorry we laughing at frozenness. If you've been frozen.
We're sorry. Also, email and tell your story because we want to
know
how you hear.
How we let it go in the Scam Goddess Pod email address. Okay, let us know when you was frozen. So, paramedics arrived on the scene within 15 minutes. The first paramedic declared the boy dead. Mm-hmm. Damn. So he was like, all right. He saw the frozenness and was like, that's what we thought. We declared him dead. We just heard frozen. It was like dead. The second just barely found a pulse. Okay, come on, second paramedic. I'm glad we got a second opinion here because they was about to throw our frozen homie in the morgue.
Yeah.
So the plane had been carrying flowers from Bogota, Colombia, and a 3.5-hour flight away, meaning that anyone stowed in the wheel well for that time survived negative 50 degree temperatures at 30,000 feet for 3.5 hours. So you feel different.
Shit. That, man, every time, I've never used to be scared of flying, and I'm still not. But as I get older, every time I get scared of flying, 0.5% of me realizes this is the craziest shit. It's fucking crazy. Like, we are in a tube.
that I don't understand how it's just in the damn air.
No clue.
Like, and we just traveling at like 400 miles an hour across the sky. Like,
and it's also other people. It's mad other tubes. Other tubes from different countries. All over
the place.
And we're not running into each other.
I'm not scared of flying, but every time I get up in the motherfucking air, a part of me just thinks this is insane what we're doing.
Oh, so, no, like, I'm scared of flying. Every time I get on a flight, I'm like, let me just surrender. Like, if I die, it's not in my hands anymore. I'm like, when the drink people come around, I'm like, please, yes, I would love alcohols because this is it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I might get there because it's crazy. And then also, it's negative 50 degrees up there. Like, what are we doing? It's wild.
And also, like, shout out to Janelle James. I'm not going to, like, I don't want to spoil her special, but listen, like, get into her special on Netflix, stand-ups. She's brilliant. Abbott Elementary. Like, she's been on this podcast. But I love her so much. But she talks about in her stand-up special, and I'll say this because Netflix has used the soundbite as, like, advertisement, so it's out there. But she talks about how because of the COVID price lowering of planes, that there's bus people on the plane now.
Niggas who don't know how to act on planes.
And that really got me thinking. I'm like, this whole time we had this etiquette on the plane. Like, we'll wear our little masks, we'll sit down, we'll be quiet. And now I'm like, if the bus people are on the plane, like, why didn't they could just open the door? We in the air, they could just open the door.
I know. That's the craziest shit. Like, it'll take, it's just, we can open the door and we're done.
Right. Like, and when we say bus people, I'm not talking about if you take public transportation every day on that bus.
I'm talking about the Greyhound. Yeah, we're talking about the Greyhound.
I've ridden the Greyhound. Oh, yeah. I'm allowed to say this. This is not me punching down. But don't act like you ain't got on one of those buses. If you got a good sense and be like, these people are peculiar.
Oh, yeah. The people on the mega bus, especially when it's them penny bus. I didn't took the penny buses before a couple places. It's a crowd.
Used to be cute. It used to be like a college thing, or at least where I was in Pennsylvania, we would take it, you know, from Pittsburgh to Philly or Pittsburgh to New York. It was very much like a college-y, like clean bus, Wi-Fi, double-decker. Like, it was nice and fun. And then one day, it just felt like the Greyhound people heard about it, and it was over.
You mean to tell me we can get on a bigger bus? Oh, let's run
that. That's clean, that we can dirty it up. Change my baby on the table that the college students used to use for their papers.
And it got the Wi-Fi. Oh, we there.
Tragic. So I do think about that. Yeah. So despite the dangers, the boy could have suffered, such as like hypoxia, nitrogen gas embolism, and decompression sickness. He was awake and talking with officials 3 hours later the same day. The boy told investigators his name was Guillermo Rosales, and he was 13 years old, and that he was from Cali, Colombia. I thought he said he was from California for a second because it said Cali, but he's from Cali, Colombia. He said his parents had died 6 months previously in a bus accident. Oh, damn. Now we was talking about buses. Now I feel bad. That's why he dropped out of school. Damn. So with no one else to house or feed him, he decided his chances of stowing away on an airplane to the U.S. were better than staying where he was. Guillermo's story made international headlines. Trusts were set up for him. He found a pro bono immigration lawyer, and a couple from Washington offered to adopt him.
Wow.
I feel like if you're a couple for Washington offering to adopt this, oh, he's cute.
Oh, I see.
Cute little kid. I think it's funny that the couple in D.C. is like, we want to adopt him. What? Yeah. So he'd be like a little party favor, you weirdos. Yeah. We adopted the boy from the news. Everyone, we're having a salon.
We'll break out the fine china.
Right. And the cheese.
Yes.
And the fig jam. He's going to tell us all about the airplane.
Can I also say, like, before... This story, I'm excited for this story even more because it's about to have one hell of a turn. Because everything so far, this motherfucker is a hero.
Right. He's got a trust. People want to adopt him. You know, a Miami police detective, Jado Lozano, offered to house him in the meantime. He said, Guillermo was always quiet, grateful, and fitted in well. Fitted in well. Sounds like a scammer to me. However, toys around the house began to go missing. And once, when the family was out, Guillermo was found to have $200 in jewels he stole from hotel guests. What? That jumped the shark.
Okay.
Okay.
Went from toys to jewels? Boy went from stealing Legos to crystals.
Hey, he took a few Legos and said, okay, well, I could probably make a pearl work.
You know? Shit.
Yeah. It took authorities 2 weeks to realize there was no Guillermo Rosales and that his story was far different from what he had told everyone. Oh, no.
Okay. All right.
So Guillermo's so he real lied. Identity. So he said he was 13, right?
Right.
He's 17.
Okay. Okay.
Colombia officials discovered that Guillermo Rosales, a 13-year-old boy, was 17-year-old Juan Carlos Guzman Bedenker.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Uh-huh. With a living aunt in Miami and very likely an alive mother in Colombia.
Yeah.
He was a result of an affair between a rich man with 9 other children and a woman who would end up rejecting him. Between his father, who had no part in raising him, and his mother, who tried to give him to another family member who subsequently wouldn't take him, Juan had only known rejection from childhood. Now, here's what I'm gonna say. Juan is not giving good vibes.
No.
I feel like he was a kid with bad vibes, and his mom gave him up because she was like, he got bad vibes.
Yeah. Also, there's a picture of him up on the screen right now, and I don't know when this picture was taken, but homie look at least about 35 in this picture right here. Like,
yeah, I think the other picture, the one where we saw where he looked younger, that was him at 17.
That was, yeah, because he did still look older for 13 there too, like in that other picture that we saw.
Right. But there with television, like, people don't know what 13 looks like anymore. You got 30-year-olds on Euphoria, you know.
But this is 93, right? This is 90. Yeah. This is 93. I mean,
see, it was even worse back then, though. Think about the movies then. In the 90s where literally, like, everybody would be in their 40s at the high school. Like, yeah. No, mom, who was hanging out? Like,
yeah, Henry Winkler was fucking Fonzie. That nigga was 50.
Right.
On Happy Days. Like, my man was a middle-aged man playing high schooler on Happy Days.
As soon as Happy Days wrapped, he starts selling AARP. We're like, right, that's right. Fast.
He went from Happy Days to selling retirement plans on commercials. Right.
To Life Alert. Like, wait a minute. We're missing something here.
Oh, shit. There's also the possibility, not to prolong this part, but there's also a possibility that, and this is me giving the criminals and the scammers the benefit of the doubt, because that's what we do. Yeah. There's also the possibility that you asked him too many questions too soon after he was a frozen ice cube. His brain was probably scrambled. He probably really thought he was 13.
Now, he thawed out for 3 hours, though.
I mean, we got to give the brain a little bit more time. All right, okay.
He was room temperature.
Okay, okay. Hey, listen, you the scam goddess. I'm learning at your feet. So,
and he had his story ready.
Okay, you're right. He wasn't incoherent. Like, I think I'm 14. No, I'm 13. Like, he was ready. Like, okay, right. You're right. Okay.
He said he was Guillermo Rosales. He already had a name. It wasn't like he was like, Johnny. Couch water. Like, you know, he wasn't like,
yeah, he didn't come up with Mrs. Doubtfire. He came up with Guillermo.
He didn't do a Mrs. Doubtfire, just survey the room and make a name up. He had Guillermo Rosales ready.
Okay.
So, additionally, growing up gay in the machismo culture of Guayabel, Colombia, and shanty down on the outskirts of Cali. I don't know what a shanty down is, but I'm guessing it's like, okay, we have a photo. It's like
it's a shack.
Yeah, like some kind of shacks in the forest, it looks like.
Yeah.
It's giving forest. But there's also like a nice looking house back there too, so.
Yeah, like that's the crazy thing about some of like these international places I've been to. I've been to Colombia. And I was in Cartagena, Colombia, and it's why, like, normally you don't get, like, a mansion. Like, here in America, in many places, you don't get, like, a mansion and then a motorhome right next door to each other. But over there, you will. Like, you'll get a mansion, and then about 40 yards down the street, is the poorest motherfucking house that you've ever seen in your life. And like, and it's pretty wild.
I don't
wild.
Know how I feel about that.
I don't either. It was very
Is it better
wild.
That it's not segregated? Because, I mean, then at least, like, you got to get some kind of benefit for living next to the mansion, right?
I guess so. Listen, if it was me, I want us to be segregated. I'm talking as a poor person, not as a rich person. As a poor person.
No, I know you're talking about it as a poor person, but that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't know. Do I want to live near the mansion?
I don't want to be reminded that I ain't got money.
But I mean, the mansion person has to be, you know, at least making sure the Wi-Fi is good. Maybe we.
That's true. That's true.
Must be something I can get off.
You're
of this
right.
Mansion
you're right. Here. You can hear clear music when they have parties and shit.
No.
You're right. You're right.
This is terrible, man. I'm gonna get canceled right after I won that damn award.
I know. I'm sorry, Lacey. You didn't want to bomb me on here.
Wow, and immediately blamed me. Victim blaming immediately. I'm so sorry, but this was your choice. Anyways, continue. So this is on the outskirts of Cali, and, you know, he had his own difficulties because he's a gay man. He's living in a culture that does not, you know, embrace that, and that's very difficult as well. In July 1993, Juan was deported back to Colombia, looking very different from the scruffy stowaway, in a new suit and a new pair of Sony headphones. So they sent him back to Colombia, but they said, you can keep the drip. I'm with that.
I like that, yeah.
After becoming known to the world as a miracle stowaway, Juan's charm, fluency in four languages, and uncanny ability to pick wealthy targets would lead him to a long career as a gentleman thief. Come on, gentleman thief!
Gentleman thief. I mean, like, here's the thing. Like, he's an attractive dude, right?
Yes.
And you can tell that he has charisma. Anybody that can unthaw and get your story straight and within 3 hours got Will Smith level charisma.
That's popping. And honestly, like, if I get robbed, like, I do want to just have the lingering scent of Tom Ford or Aqua Velva or something where I'm like, wow, a gentleman thief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get them because he talking to your pheromones, to the right Class. Part of your pheromones. He gets you. He's disarming. There's nothing worse than a disarming criminal, because those are motherfuckers that be stealing the most, because yes. You don't see it. You don't see it coming. And you feel comfortable around them, and they take advantage of that.
And you let them do it multiple times.
Exactly. Exactly. That's Guillermo.
If you can
Juan.
Disarm, you can run it up a few times on one person before you move on.
Right. Right. It's the motherfuckers who seem like they crooks that I don't understand how they get away with shit. Those are the people that just get away with shit by strong-arming people. They just evil.
That's why you have to use
violence. Right, you got to use violence
to your arsenal.
Right, if you look like Tony Soprano, you just not look like, but if you have the personality of Tony Soprano.
If you look like Steve Buscemi, you got to use a little violence as well.
You got to shoot a nigga to get what you want.
At least some threats, you know? You got to do all your scams by phone, you know?
Do your scams by mail.
Right. You got to email people. People can't see your face. They're not going to fall for it. So with Juan's forging his own fake IDs and stealing passports, nothing could stop him. In the summer of 2003, a string of burglaries hit Las Vegas. So he's back in the States. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dipping a toe in the USA. In particular, the head of security at illustrious Four Seasons, the hotel, you know, had a story to tell about a man who called himself Daniel Gold. Okay, now this name is a little sloppy.
Yeah. But now that brain freezing caught up with him.
Right,
he just,
Daniel
he was just
Gold.
Looking around. Daniel Gold?
Gold?
Well, the ceiling is gold. Gold, gold.
Yeah, gold. Daniel Gold. I'm Tony Money?
I'm Joseph Ringlight.
That's just from your own place.
Yeah.
He was trying to give the girls, like, richness, though. He was like, you know, Daniel Gold. A handsome, smartly dressed young man had walked into the hotel and gone directly to the receptionist and told her he wanted his up-to-date room charges. Several minutes later, he returned to the front desk saying he misplaced his room key and needed a new one. For proof, he offered ID with his photo, the name Daniel Gold. It was later discovered that he had an additional room where he'd photocopy and forge documents. With his new key, so the man known as Mr. Gold went up to his $4,000 a night suite. But When he entered, he heard voices of the actual Gold family's children and a nanny from an adjoining room. So basically, he was at the hotel in like a crappier room, and he was copying people's passports and copying their IDs. And then he'd be like, I'd like to see my up-to-date room charger. So Daniel Gold was a real person. And he went up to the room. This is where I am confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know the real Daniel Gold hasn't checked out. So
right. So why you... Yeah. And you had to, at some point, get into his room anyway to steal his shit, right?
Yeah. So when he heard the nanny and the children, he left the suite and, using a phone in the hallway connected to the room, pretended to be a staff member telling the nanny that Mr. Gold wished to see his children in the spa and they should leave immediately. So he didn't give up. When he heard the nanny and the kids in the room, he left and he went outside. He was like, hello, this is the Four Seasons. This is Clive speaking.
Turn this man into Oliver Twist.
Mr. Gold would love to see his kids during his massage. He said he got to see him real quick right now.
He's just like, where you calling from, man? We in Vegas. What you...
Yeah, I know. I work at the Four Seasons. My name is Clive Light Switch.
Oh, Light Switch. All right, I'll be right down.
Right. So once they left, the faux Mr. Gold called the front desk and said his room safe wasn't working. An hour later, the actual Gold family arrived to find the safe unlocked and more than $200,000 worth of jewels, Rolex watches, and cash gone. As room after room of wealthy patrons were raided, it became clear that not only had Juan become exceptionally skilled at discovering key information and using it to take advantage of the vulnerabilities and security, he picked his victims with uncanny precision. So he could tell if you really were about that money life.
Right.
Like, he could tell who was big balling and who was shot calling.
Right, right. I love this guy.
I've never been to a hotel and was like, let me put $200,000 worth of valuables in a hotel safe. That just seems really dumb.
What you bringing that for?
Is your Rolex not waterproof? You better tell them to massage underneath the Rolex. You better keep that bitch on. You better tell them to stick a finger under there.
Stick a finger under where? The Rolex?
And rub that wrist.
Oh, you trying to... Nah, don't massage my wrist. My wrist all good. My wrist good. My wrist feel great. My wrist, I don't need no massage on my wrist.
Like, you got a gold chain on.
No. Don't massage my neck. My neck feels great.
It's a hotel safe. Those hotel safes are not secure. None of those safes are secure. The people who work there know how to get into them. Yeah. I remember once on a cruise, my dad put his Rolex in the safe when we were going on like an excursion or something. And he came back and it was gone.
Yeah.
It was gone out of the safe. And I remember, like, and it's so funny because my dad is just, like, the perfect amount of intimidating because he's professional but also just looks like he might harm you. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't come down to the desk like angry or anything like that. He was like, look, my Rolex is gone from the safe. I know someone on your staff took it. I'm not upset because I know that my Rolex will be back in my room by tonight. I know whoever took it is going to return it. Otherwise, there will be hell to pay. So, just let them know. Put it back and we won't have any problems.
Was that Rolex back?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That Rolex was back.
Somebody went down to the stowaway and said, you robbed a scary black man.
They went down and was like, now let me tell y'all, I done told y'all to stop robbing motherfuckers when we stuck in the middle of the ocean on the boat.
Right. And bro, we ain't got no metal detectors to get on this damn boat. And these people drove. We leaving from Galveston.
Shit.
They probably got a gun.
They got weapons now. Give that man his Rolex. I don't even want to know who stole it. Go back in and punch in his birthday into the safe because you know that was his code. And put his Rolex back in the motherfucking safe.
Back. I don't even want to know because I don't even want to look at you different. I don't want him to catch on to me knowing that I know that it was you.
Oh, right? Shit. Like, I love it.
He was like, no. So, like, guys, I mean, a hotel safe is cute, but you really shouldn't be carrying that much with you. If you have enough shit that's that valuable at a hotel, like, you kind of moving weird. Like, why are you taking all that shit with you?
You don't need it.
If you're not going to wear it on your body.
You don't need it.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You don't need it at all.
That's what I also say about designer luggage. Like, if you want to get designer luggage, you better be flying private. And if you want to have a designer it needs to be a carry-on so that you're always taking it with you, on the plane.
Got you. Yep.
Because if y'all are checking Louis bags, y'all are dumb. Are you kidding me? TSA can open up your bag, break your lock for any old reason. They've done any it to reason. Me any several reason. Times.
And they ain't going to take care of that shit. They're going to purposely throw that shit in there. Oh, Louis bag? Hit that. Hit every wall in the motherfucking airplane. They gonna purposely
you know
you
be throwing that shit
up.
On the plane too,
they be throwing
on
that
it.
Shit.
Can't get me pushing it all in. They want to make sure your shit looks rough by the time you get back. So not smart. So the Golds were on vacation because their house was being renovated and brought all their valuables with them for fear of being robbed. Okay, so Golds, how did y'all let smooth-talking, nice-smelling-ass Swan get you to tell this much personal information?
Oh, man.
When you are on vacation, you can make you some little vacation friends. I know couples get bored. Y'all got these kids. Y'all got the nanny y'all can pawn them off on. Maybe y'all thought y'all was making a little bonding situation. But don't tell people that. That's just if you have a Facebook or even a Twitter. You don't need to tell people when you're out of town. Mostly on Facebook, because they might know where you live. Don't tell people when you're out of town on Facebook so you can get robbed.
Yeah. It's dumb. The amount that we feel comfortable talking to strangers about personal shit is because you thinking, "Lord, I ain't gonna see them again." Also, you trying to make yourself look better, look cooler. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, Juan up here like, "I'm about to rob your ass."
Right, Rob taking notes. Juan taking notes.
Juan was taking notes, baby. Juan was like, "Baby, I didn't survive."
He's like, "Hello,
ice cube.
Chap. Yeah, my name's Daniel Gold. This is my wife, Hottie McTrophy. And we're just here because our place is being renovated. You know how that goes, old pal. You know when you're renovating. Oh, we took all our valuables. Didn't want the Mexicans to steal. You know what I mean?"
Not you, though. You're one of the good ones. You're at the Four Seasons.
Right. Juan's like, yeah, terrible Mexicans. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Juan,
man.
Why do you have that pen and paper? What are you doing over there?
Oh, I'm writing stocks.
Oh, you're writing stocks. I'm a stocks man myself. You know, I got $200,000 in the safe for the stuff. Like, you know, it's like, what are you doing?
I got my trays upstairs.
Dummy. Dale, you deserve to be robbed. I don't feel bad for you.
I don't feel bad for nobody in this story yet. Like that Daniel's, or that Juan is robbed, or Guillermo, I should say. Mm. What's his real name? Juan.
Juan
is his real name. Yes.
Guillermo was his plain name.
That's his plain name.
Juan is his real name.
Guillermo is his plain name.
Daniel Gold is his hotel name.
Okay.
So, in 2001, there was a string of similar unsolved robberies in London, where a man had stolen over $80,000 worth of jewelry cash from several luxury hotels and spent another $10,000 with a stolen credit card in a high-end clothes and chauffeur driven Bentley. So he took a credit card and was like, "I'm gonna get the drip and I'm also gonna get a whip, a chauffeur." So he's keeping up the facade, because you know somebody pulls up in a high-end Bentley and they have a driver and they get out and they're like Armani Privé everything.
You're not questioning,
like, you know
what I mean?
Nothing. No.
Yeah.
So not only did the man bag high-yielding thefts like the Vegas robbery, he was interested in the money as much as he was interested in the luxury goods and services. So he was living life well, you know what I mean? Like, he knew how to spend coin, and I appreciate that. It was later discovered that during a night out, he had tipped a barman $30,000. Wait. He went out, and as a tip, he gave a barman a $30,000 Patek Philippe watch. I can't say it's Patek Philippe.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a really expensive watch.
I can barely say Rolex.
But a Patek, you know, I just know it from like all the rap songs. But $30,000 watch. And he was like, "Here you go, keep the change." Like,
Damn.
So unflappable and smooth was Juan's operation that during another robbery at a 5-star hotel in Beverly Hills, he was able to talk his way out even when the suite owner came back early. He told the couple that he was a member of the staff on a routine check, and that as compensation for the unwanted surprise, he would send up a complimentary bottle of champagne. So they came back to their room.
Yeah.
Juan, all in their safe. Now, he's wearing a suit. He's wearing Gucci. He's wearing Tom Ford. But he all in they safe. He's looking through the panty drawer. And then, excuse me. And he's like, "Oh, hey.
Oh, I'm just making sure your stuff is warm and folded."
Yeah.
And
we do these routine checks of the underwear drawers. And it's just because terrorism is. Ooh, you would be surprised.
They be putting the anthrax in the panties.
Mm-hmm. and they also in the mini bar.
You don't want that.
We've had a lot of cases. We call them 873s. And y'all weren't supposed to see. You know, I'm going to send y'all like dumb
parents. I'm going to send y'all up a bottle. I'm going to send y'all up a bottle for the inconvenience. Oh, okay. Go ahead. All right. You be. I love this hotel. They think of everything here.
this voice. So. He then left the room, went to the restaurant, and ordered the hotel's most expensive bottle, charging it to the couple's account. When the Las Vegas detective started...
I'm going to send you up a bottle of champagne. He go down, hey, send a bottle to my room, put it on the room. Oh, I love this man.
Look, he said, I'm going to send you a bottle. He didn't say, I'm going to pay for it.
Oh, I love this man.
Like, he could take one L. Like, I know you stole a lot of money. You could take one L and just buy the bottle of champagne just to get off scot-free. You sent it and charged them. He's so disrespectful.
Oh, that is fucking beautiful.
He's rude. This is disrespectful. I love it. So when the Las Vegas detectives started to hear about the similarities, they began contacting authorities around the world to gather stories and connect the dots. When a string of burglaries took place at several London top hotels in November 2004, authorities were ready for Juan. Wow. So now they're like, okay, it's 2004. Remember, the him sending a couple the champagne that they paid for, that was 2001. It's 2004. It's 3 years later. He's hopping the globe. He's going, you know, to all the posh cities and getting the girls.
And at this point, this dude is under 30. Because if in 93 he was 17, 2003, 2004, he's late 20s at that point, right?
I mean, listen, this is what I call taking advantage of your 20s. You're hot, you're young, supple skin. Mm-hmm. You get out there and do those robberies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you young thang.
You sexy thang.
Thank you. So on occasion, Juan would pretend to be a guest, loitering in the lobby, drinking coffee in the lounge, or ordering drinks at the bar while actually profiling targets, grabbing names from discarded checks, and eavesdropping on reception. Using this information and sometimes a fake ID, Juan could become anyone. In the final London burglary at the Dorchester on Park Lane, he stole around $50,000 worth of watches, cash, and clothes, including a $2,000 Valentino leather jacket and a Frank Mueller watch.
Wow.
Or Mueller.
I don't know
this brand. Frank Mueller. Yeah.
I think I've heard of this brand.
I was reading it like Mugler, but it's not Mugler. It's Mueller. I think it's Mueller. Frank Mueller. So he stole a Valentino leather jacket and a Frank Mueller watch. He was
I love this dude.
He was robbing everybody.
He was robbing everybody for the good shit too.
Right. And he pretty much exclusively seemed to do this at hotels. I think he found his niche. He knew how to work it. And when you think about it, hotels do have lots of places where you can get information from people. Like, if you wanted to see someone's hotel room, once they pay at a bar, if they leave a receipt or, you know, the checkout with the, you know, signed copy and the tip or whatever, you can open that and see what their room number was and their name. Or if you're listening to reception, people are giving their personal information right then and there. Like, there's so many places at hotels where you're giving up personal information to check in, check out, buy things.
He's smart.
Thought about it.
Let me tell you, and I love this movie, but they had the movie Catch Me If You Can with the Leonardo DiCaprio, Frank Abagnale, who also kind of similar to this dude, right? You talked about it. So yeah, kind of similar to this dude, like going around, like running scams on like things you wouldn't think you should run scams. Man, he was running crazy scams. I want to see a movie about this dude. Cause this man was doing some crazy shit. Like, you know, at some point, somebody in the FBI had a beat on him and they couldn't catch him for like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Like it took him forever to even put it together. This is probably the same person.
Yeah.
And all of the thefts were the same. Also, beautiful. Y'all didn't have descriptions. Everybody wasn't like, he's really young and attractive Colombian man.
Right. It ain't that many Colombian men out there robbing motherfuckers.
Not like this.
Not like this.
You know
right.
what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't think if in any race, you could probably narrow it down if they were any race, because like, who is out here just like robbing people in suits smelling like, you know, patchouli and old wood? Like, that's what I imagine he smells like. I imagine he smells so good.
Smelling like bread. The good bread.
It's very disarming when people smell good.
It is.
It's just like, oh, they must have something going on.
It is. It's disarming. It's disarming. Disarming criminals.
I always kick myself when I forget to put on perfume because I'm like, oh, that's one of my superpowers. It's like people be like, you smell so good. You know?
Damn. I'm trying to give you a cologne.
Oh, yeah. You got to give people a sensory experience. Okay. It's good. So by December 2004, Scotland Yard detective Andy Swindells, what a last name, had been following Juan for several years. Ah, you're lame, Andy. You're following him for several years. You loser. Followed him for several years. If you couldn't catch him in 6 months, you should have gave up. Quit.
Gave up. Let this man live.
Let him live.
Let this man live.
So it was for that reason he was able to immediately recognize Juan walking down the street after walking home from a bar around the corner. Dang, Andy. Damn. I hate you found him like this, Juan.
He was like, you know what? I'm going to take a night off from robbing people and just go have me a couple glasses of wine. Go ahead and dance to Ignition Remix.
No.
Like, because that was out there, right?
Juan does not listen to R. Kelly. I don't want that for him.
Not no more. But no. In 2004,
he probably could have been like, bounce, bounce. Yeah.
Right.
Shouldn't have been, but.
He shouldn't have been. Also, didn't that name, the name just popped up. It said something, Soriano something. Was his name not even Juan?
It was Juan. Can we see that mugshot again? So, in the meantime, while they pull it up, Juan was immediately arrested and taken to custody while police were able to track down his apartment and finally find a trove of physical evidence to his thefts and multiple aliases. During questioning, Juan was held so hard to a fake alias that despite knowing the better detectives were almost fooled. So he, when they arrested him, he had a fake alias. He wasn't going by Juan.
That's maybe what I saw there.
Yeah. He was eventually found guilty and sentenced to only 3.5 years to the Stanford Hill prison on the Isle of Sheppey. Only... Dang, Juan even got more sexier.
Juan is an attractive ass dude.
Why he got the drip on in the handcuffs? He got a little polo.
Yeah, he got like the perfect chiseled jaw with the right amount of stubble.
These glasses.
Yo, Juan, wherever you at, bruh, you should be in Hollywood right now, man. You got A-list looks.
Rob me, daddy. Okay.
You got them A-list looks, boy. Juan looked like he gonna be the next Superman in the goddamn.
Right. Little Clark Kent ass Juan. Oh my god. You want the keys to my safe? Juan.
Shit, you ain't have to do all that, baby. All you had to do was ask. You ain't
Juan,
have to rob
you be
me.
The Juan, okay? And not the two. Yes. Okay. We stay. He's doing it. I'm not mad at him.
Shit. All right. Now I know what I need to do to look better. I need to go get frozen like an ice cube.
He did cryo at 17. He did 3 hours of cryo.
Right.
And it worked out.
Shit.
Y'all doing cryo for 15 minutes. It's not long enough.
Three hours. You got to go freeze.
Almost die.
Shit.
Because his cells are regenerating.
Wow.
My goodness. Okay. So, he got 3 years in Sheppey. I'm guessing the Sheppey sounds like some British shit. This doesn't sound... In America, we got prisons called Rikers. You know,
right,
we don't have prisons called Sheppey.
Leavenworth. Like, we got fucking terrible names. We got shit that sounds scary.
The name alone sounds terrifying. Yeah. So this has to be in the UK. Sheppey? Yeah, welcome to Sheppey Prison.
Shit.
How would you like to be locked up today? Like, yeah, Sheppey is in Kent, England. Thank you, Marina.
Right.
We're right. Sheppey is definitely not in America because America's prisons be like Shank Murder Correctional Facility.
We don't have cute
names for our prisons.
Don't nobody do Guantanamo Bay. That shit sound terrible. That shit sound terrible.
They tried to put Bay in it to make it sound cute. Like you was going to get
sound
an ocean
worse.
View.
Right. Nigga, we watched Training Day. We know what Pelican Bay is. Like,
right.
We ain't trying to get
it
no bays in
good.
Our names.
Right. It don't sound good. Actually, I would rather be at Shank Murder Correctional
Facility.
At least then I'm not on the island. Right. What's the other one? That
Alcatraz.
Was on Alcatraz. That don't sound terrible.
That just sounds terrible. That's a scary fucking name.
What prison you go? I'm going to Alcatraz. That sounds like a nightmare.
Alcatraz had a nickname too. It was called The Rock. Like,
no.
That should sound bad, man.
And that shit is in the middle of the ocean. And now they give tours of that bitch and they're like, yeah, this is where they all got syphilis. And this is where I'm like, no.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so Sheppy. I do a beat in Sheppy. Feels fine. Feels okay.
They don't call it a bed over there. You doing the bed? You doing the holiday in Sheppy?
I'm going on holiday to
Sheppy. You going on the holiday in Sheppy?
Even the way we say we're going for doing a bed, it don't sound like prison is. Yeah, I'm sure. Like, we know prison is a horrible experience. Prison doesn't come for his ass. We know all of that. But it's just crazy to me that in America, like, even the sound of prison, like the words that we use to call, like the names,
it's all terrifying.
It's all terrifying.
Yeah.
Okay, so ship it. So he's sentenced to, it says only 3.5 years. So whoever authored this, and I know Kaylin does excellent research, so there's a lot of different articles and stuff, but whoever maybe probably wrote only in front of 3.5 years. No, 3.5 is more than enough.
That's more than enough. He ain't killed nobody.
He ain't killed nobody. He robbed some rich people of some things. Okay, yeah. They probably weren't paying all their taxes anyway.
Yeah, shit, ain't nobody hurt. They fine.
They fine. Everyone's fine, okay?
Yeah.
So, several months into his sentence, he used a fake toothache and a doctor's visit to escape.
My man.
Of course you could. Because at Shippey, you probably get, like, that good dental.
Right. Yo, he said, I got a toothache. They literally took him to a dentist.
What? That's crazy. I feel like in America, you say you got a toothache, the security guard just go hit you in the mouth with a baton. Right. Knock it out.
Which tooth? All right, let me pull it out for you. They just gonna pull that motherfucker out.
Right. We don't get dental.
No Novocaine or nothing.
Hell, you can't get dental when you're free in America.
Yeah. You can't. And the motherfuckers who can, if you don't know it, you ain't got it. People who's on Medicare, you can get free dental on Medicare if you ask for it. They ain't gonna offer that shit to you.
If you ask for it, I hate it here.
It's
no,
crazy.
Yeah, it's a part of your plan.
It's a part of your plan. If you know.
We're not gonna tell you though. You gotta guess.
You gotta guess. You gotta find out you got it.
So the arresting detective responded, our first reaction was we laughed when he escaped from the dentist's office. He was like, oh, my tooth, my brain. And then he got to the dentist's office and he left. And the detective was like, we was cracking up. It was actually hilarious. I like that y'all have a good sense of humor. So Juan was arrested several weeks later after hitting the Marriott Hotel in Dublin. Juan.
He should have just, my man should have went to Australia somewhere or Asia where they ain't got extradition laws and just chilled.
I know he escaped with no money. So unless he had a bank account, he had to do one more hotel heist.
He was on the Wet Bandits Home Alone shit. He got out of jail and needed to rob the toy store.
And I'm sure he was going to skip town after that. But you got to know, when you are the hotel bandit, that people, the hotels know about you, girl.
Yeah, you got to change it up.
They probably you got your face up in the back room where they, you know, do the linens and prep the room service. Like, everybody knows who you are. You can't go back to hotel thieving. Especially not in the, you know, country you got caught.
God damn, you got to go rob some country clubs or some shit.
Yeah, you got to switch it up.
They got lockers at the country clubs,
but you know what, though? He probably didn't have all his drip. Like, they raided his apartment. He, you know, he's in prison, so he doesn't really have his set of tools.
So I bet you if we saw a picture of him right after jail, it was like he got hit with some kryptonite. He probably looked bad, too.
Damn, because, you know, I don't know, though. Ship it. They might have haircuts. They might let him go to the dentist's office in his suit. He might be like, I feel more comfortable. In my suit at the dentist. And it's like, sure, put it on, whatever.
That's why people are addicted to crime, man. Like, they can't help themselves, right? You broke out of jail and you free. Like, they ain't found you for several months, which means you have been successfully evading the law.
But he was evading the law, but I don't know how he made it over several weeks without you know, any access to cash. But so with multiple charges in multiple countries, he was eventually extradited to France, where charges were pending. And while charges were pending in the United States, so France was like, we want to turn. And then the U.S. was like, then bring him to us so we can take him to the real jails.
Right. So we can take that motherfucker to Rikers.
Okay. So... so we can start making license plates. He gonna make license plates for us and hand sanitizer for cents.
He gonna be fighting wildfires in California.
Right. This is so fucked. And then but when he get out of prison, he can't become a firefighter. What?
Right. Right. It's fucked up.
It's so fucked up. Literally, fucked prisons up. Are just slave labor. They're like, let's get as many people in the jail as we can. Black and brown preferred. And then work them to death. We'll pay them. Pennies.
We'll pay them.
Literal pennies.
12 cents.
So he took the opportunity to flee the United States where he would be... Oh, wow. So when he had... He was extradited to France, right? He's got charges pending in the U.S. He took that opportunity to flee to the United States where he would be arrested in Vermont after getting caught at the Canadian border. After serving 30 months and being released, he was arrested again in Hong Kong. Damn, bro. Like, I know you're tired of handcuffs.
Yeah. And he don't look as good.
Yeah, he's starting to look a little worn down. The arrests are getting to him. Like an addict, his lies grew more ambitious and his execution more careless as he chased his obsession with wealth and luxury. Eventually, in March 2019, he was sentenced to 15 months after stealing 217,000 euros, roughly about 245,000 US dollars worth of cash and jewelry from the Hotel Disneyland in the city of Chessy, France. As of today, Juan Guzman Betancourt's whereabouts are unknown, and he remains one of the world's most talented and untrustworthy criminals. So I would imagine that he's still out here doing this.
Yeah, he's still out here. He's still out here doing the damn thing. And the crazy part, too, is... It's wild because you said you talked about this. So, you know, Frank Abagnale, because he's a white man who was a criminal. This man eventually got a job in the FBI helping them, like helping them catch people who was doing what he was doing. Right. If the government was smart, they'd be like, bruh. I'm tired of catching you. You tired of being caught, man.
Right. Like, at this point...
Like, let's help each other out here, brother. Like, why don't you come work for us? We gonna pay you six figures a year. And you can work your way up to seven figures. But, like, come on, bro. Like, I'm tired.
It's also just such a waste of government resources.
It's a fucking waste.
To keep catching this man.
Like, either put him away for good or let this man live.
Right.
Let the man live. Because as soon as he get out, he gonna do the same shit.
Exactly.
Let him live.
And I know the way the laws are set up, it's like I can't really charge him for much. You know, like 15 months is like a little bit over a year. 30 months, like he's doing like two-ish years. But I don't know. I think let him go.
But, let him go. Let him go.
He's free now. And I don't know how he's doing. I hope he's doing well.
I hope he's doing good. I like Guillermo or Juan. I like Juan.
Juan, wherever you are out there, stay scheming. Still very proud of you. Love your work. Huge fan.
Yes.
Guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back for the saddest part of the show where I have to let Jaquise go.
Robbery!
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.
And we're back, and it's time for Scammer of the Week, where we highlight a charlatan who's worthy of our praise, or maybe not. Man, this episode's a long one again. Wow, guys.
We having fun, though. We having
yes,
good time.
We have fun here. Scammer of the Week, 60-year-old Ann Kudahar. There's a phonetic pronunciation here, so I'm saying it right. 60-year-old Ann Kudahar of Zabar, Malta, has been accused of using several ruses, including faking cancer, to raise money so she could go to the casino. Anna is unemployed, her only source of income being social benefits. When she went to three people claiming to need help financing her treatment, or that she was like collecting money for a friend's dying son, people were eager to help. So she was like switching it up. She was like, oh, I have cancer. Oh, my friend's son is dying. Mm-hmm. He's frozen.
He came here on a plane and he is frozen for three hours.
We don't want him to make it to all the way froze.
Right.
He's more of a slushy right now.
He's just a thin layer of ice on top.
It's a thin layer of ice on top. But if you give me money today, urgently, he could be thawed. Help me thaw my friend's son. So she ultimately raised over 470,000 euros, around 530,000 USD, which she spent entirely on gambling.
Now, see, this one I don't have. Like, Guillermo or Juan, I was like, all right, Juan, I like you. You ain't hurt nobody. But I don't like this when you actually use, like, shit that people are going through that they have no control over, like cancer or, you know, death in the family. And you pulling on those heartstrings. That's
I
tough.
I mind it.
You don't mind it? That shit is sad. Shit makes me sad. I got to.
Not 1 cent was recovered, and she pleaded non guilty, and she's remaining in custody.
Okay.
The reason I say I don't mind it is, I've said this before, if you donate to a GoFundMe, like, what are you, some kind of psychopath who's gonna like reach back out and be like, okay, how much did the funeral cost?
That's
how much
true.
Were the programs? Did you guys use all the money? Can I see a photo of the body in the coffin? Like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
You know,
you have a choice whether to give money or not. You're right.
Right. That's the whole thing about GoFundMe is you're supposed to put up a convincing story. You could get a little video, a little PowerPoint presentation, you know, some photos of somebody looking real ill, you know, or like freshly hit by a bus. Like, you're supposed to sell it. And then people just buy it if they want to buy in. But I'm never going to be like, oh, well, how did the treatments go? Or I'm not going to like.
Right. Never. Never.
Where did my money go? Was there any leftover?
I've given money to like some GoFundMes and shit for people's like, this person is fighting for their life. You know, they need this, they need that. And I've given, you know, a few bucks. And most of the motherfuckers, I don't know if they're alive or not.
Like,
I never like checked back. I never get checked back.
They really don't send updates. They're never like, and they made it.
And they made it.
We don't know.
Yeah.
So, I know that like GoFundMe especially tries to stop these kinds of things because their whole platform is basically getting a little tax off of the money that's made and raised. So they don't want people to start feeling like the site is a scam because then they'll start donating less and then GoFundMe will make less money. So they're like, they try to root out the scammers to be like, look, we caught them. Look, we make sure our site is legit. These sad stories are all real.
Right. Right. GoFundMe is a scam. And you know what? I love it because one day we all going to need healthcare. And that's the healthcare in our country.
And that's how we get healthcare. We all pass around the same $6 to whoever needs it for whatever surgery or treatment, which is insane. Because basically, that's tax. We could all just let the tax dollars pay for healthcare, but instead, we're gonna just—it's that weird thing you were talking about where people need to feel like they're better than someone. So it's like, oh, you seem worthy of my $5. Your story is compelling.
Right. Yeah. It's wild. Didn't the Kardashians have a GoFundMe at one point, or one of them Jenners or something? Like, something happened, and, like, somebody started a GoFundMe for... So they didn't actually start it, but somebody started a GoFundMe.
It was, like, Kylie... I think someone started a GoFundMe for, like, a makeup artist or something that Kylie worked with.
That's right.
And then like, reposted the GoFundMe. I think
she reposted it.
And everybody was like, girl, just pay it off.
Just pay it.
That's right. That's what
Aren't you worth billions? They were like, sis, pay it off. That's what it is. This
is tricky. It's a scam, man.
Just like, I'll share it to my 100 million followers and they'll get you the money. No, girl, you pay it. You pay it. If I had that much money, I would just pay it. Now I know you can't keep money if you're out here paying for everybody and everybody's little thing. I get that. But I would rather pay it quietly than repost it to hundreds of millions of people. And
that's how I know they live.
Can
God know
help my friend?
That's how I know they live. They live in just a different world. Or rich people like that just live in a completely different, like, stratosphere that I have no mental access to, because that makes sense to me and you. But to them, but to her, she was like, oh, yeah, share it.
She was like, me share. Do you know how much I get paid to share things? Like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm going to share this GoFundMe for free. Look at my altruism. Wow. Meanwhile, she's buying like $100,000 purses. Like, let's just pay the GoFundMe and do it anonymously. If you don't want to have to worry about people coming back for coins or thinking that you're going to start being an open bank,
right?
Pay it anonymously and be like, oh, wow, somebody paid off. That's crazy. Good for you. And move on. Don't post that shit on your page. You know, now that we found out that Virgil Abloh, and I'm currently wearing Off-White, I do love his designs and rest in peace. When we found out that he was, you know, actually dealing with a disease and stuff, so when we were teasing him online, talking about keeping it a Virgil or two Virgils. Because remember, he was donating to a charity, and he was like, if you guys donate, like, I'll match it.
That's right.
So he posted that he had matched like a $50 donation on his Instagram. And I
remember this.
You're rich.
Yeah.
Don't post this $50. And this poor man was going through it. And we was just dragging him.
He was going through it. Did the same thing to Chadwick. Every time he was on TV.
Nah, I didn't do that.
Well, some people did. Some people was like, every time he was on TV and then he was looking a little skinnier, people was like, oh, he didn't have the powers of the Black Panther stripped from him. And I was like, we trash. We're so trash.
When he would look tired in those pictures doing the Wakanda Forever salute and they started saying, well, kinda forever. I was like, no. We're all going to hell.
We're so fucked. We're so trash. We're trash. We're trash.
It's bad here.
We're trash.
Guys, oh man, and those are huge losses for the culture,
so
for the world.
Yeah,
but to not end on the saddest note, I just want to say, guys, keep giving a GoFundMe. Don't worry about if it's real. What are you gonna do? You know,
just don't give to them if you worry.
And I feel like most of them are real. You know what I mean? You're going to have some scammers every now and then, but that's every single thing in the world. Someone's going to try to use it and get over. So I think let's try to have some sort of glass half full.
Yeah. Mindset. So when I post my GoFundMe, y'all know it's real. And Lacey told y'all, go ahead and donate.
Exactly. When I'm frozen, guys.
Right.
Which
when I'm frozen.
Anticipating will be soon.
And
I need y'all to thaw me.
And I can only be up there for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, thawing is expensive.
What if that shit turned him smart? Like, what if it unlocked a part of his brain when he thawed out that was like criminal genius? Like, he was just coming over to just, like, steal toys, and then, like, he was like, wait a minute. I feel so, like his brain just started firing off like, you can do better.
Marbles and diamonds.
They kind of.
Same size. Like, and then he was like, okay, I'll become an expert jewel thief. Whatever it is, I'm into it. Guys, that brings us to the end of an episode. Ooh, a long one. As always, if you want to snitch on your friends and family, scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Jaquise, we love to ask here, where would you like to be found? And anything you'd like to promote?
Oh, what a beautiful thing. First of all, I'm so happy and proud for you, of you, Lacey. You're killing it. Like you said before, we've known each other for, what, about 5, 6, 7 years now? So, like, it's so dope. to see people you come up with killing the game. Congrats on the Best Crime Scam Award. You doing the Viola, nominating yourself in the supporting actress category. But I respect it. Nah, but you're doing big things, and I love it. I love it for you. So very happy for you. Glad to be back. Jacquees Neal on everything. At Jacquees Neal. Follow me, y'all. I want to scam my way into some more followers. So if you're listening to this and you don't follow me, get on Instagram, get on Twitter, follow a brother. I'm going to be in the upcoming season of Physical Season 2 on Apple TV. There's no release date yet, but it's coming out. So keep an eye out for that. I'm in a couple video games, a couple animated shows. Everything like that's coming down the pipe, I'll talk about it when it's time. So, follow me on social.
Yes, and that's JACQUIS. N-E-A-L. Okay.
Yes.
I was trying to text Jacquees the other day and I was spelling it correctly looking for him on my phone and then realized it's spelled incorrectly on my phone. And so I was like, we were just texting. I know I have his number.
Were you missing the C or was the I a E?
I was missing the C. It went to J-A-Q. Yeah.
Yep.
And guys, as always, Scam Goddess Pod on all platforms if you want to see the pictures from today's episode or my nonsense. And D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms if you want to see my mess. Lacey mostly on TikTok. Guys, congregation, stay scheming. Scam Goddess!
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Faiz, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's Cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.